This is PCJ Radio International.
Radio Berlin International.
Ici Radio Canada. This is Canada.
This is Radio Nederland, the Dutch World Broadcasting System in Hilversum, Holland.
You're tuned to Swiss Radio International in Bern.
This is Free China as a presentation of the Voice of Free China, the international service of the Broadcasting Corporation of China.
This is Radio Havana, Cuba.
Broadcasting from Cuba, free territory in the Americas.
This is Radio South Africa.
This is Yugoslavia Radio Belgrade calling.
This is Israel broadcasting from Jerusalem.
This is Radio Kenyan of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea.
This is the General Overseas Service of the BBC.
Hello, friends and listeners, and welcome to another edition of Media Network Plus from PCJ Radio International. It's very nice to have you with us. This past week, something that's been in the headlines, especially in Australia and in many other countries, is the criticism against the ABC from Australian Prime Minister Tony Abbott. He called the ABC unpatriotic and willing to take everyone else's side except Australia's side. This is what Tony Abbott said to Ray Hadley of radio station 2GB.
I want the ABC to be a straight news gathering and news reporting organisation, and a lot of people feel at the moment that the ABC instinctively takes everyone's side but Australia's.
Are you one of those people?
Well, I was very worried and concerned a few months back when the ABC seemed to delight in broadcasting allegations by a traitor, this gentleman Snowden, or this individual Snowden, who has betrayed his country and in the process has badly damaged other countries that are friends of the United States. And of course, the ABC didn't just report what he said. They took the lead in advertising what he said, and
they did it feverishly.
That was a deep concern, and I said so at the time. And look, you know, if there's credible evidence, the ABC, like all other news organisations, is entitled to report it. But you can't leap to be critical. You shouldn't leap to be critical of your own country, and you certainly ought to be prepared to give the Australian Navy and its hardworking personnel the benefit of the doubt. You would like the national broadcaster to have a rigorous commitment to truth and at least some basic affection for the home team, so to speak.
Well, those comments from Australian Prime Minister Tony Abbott has put the managing director of Mark Scott on the defensive, including the ABC. Now, the ABC has been doing extensive coverage of asylum seekers, as well as on apparent abuse from the Australian Navy against asylum seekers trying to make their way to Australia. Mark Scott went on the ABC Melbourne morning program with John Fain to put the ABC's position.
Do you want to say something more than what you've already said by way of an apology to the Navy?
Well, John, I think we need to look at this story in its full context, and I've got nothing much to add to what Kate Tawney and I said the other day. You know, serious allegations were raised and reported by all the Australian media, across the Australian media in early January, about mistreatment, and the denials of the Navy were run at that time. Subsequently, video evidence came to light through the ABC that showed asylum seekers with burns, and it raised further questions. And the role of the ABC was to report that, ask the further questions. We ran the denials.
Sure. That was then, this is now. As it turns out, and whether it's Media Watch's intervention or the Australian newspapers, it doesn't really matter. It has moved on since. The government is saying that a bigger apology is required.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And people
are you prepared to give it?
Well, people have their views on that, John, and as I said in an interview the other day, and I certainly in the statement that we made the other day, if there's imprecise wording, we said in the statement, if there's imprecise wording and anyone interpreted from that that the ABC had been judge and jury on this, we certainly don't want that to be the case. As I said the other day, and I say again now, we have never sought to be judge and jury on this matter. We do not know what went on that boat. We do not know how those burns came to be.
No, we don't. But are you sorry with the way we ran the story?
Well, what we've said, John, I mean, I think you would understand this, and I think journalists understand this. Many times on the day after, you know, after you've asked questions or held done interviews or newspaper reports have been written, you may think that you should have phrased something a little bit differently.
Every day I do, but that's the news bulletins for days.
Well, but even if you go back to those original stories, John, if you go back to those original stories absolutely make it clear the denials of the Navy and the suggestion that we don't know what happened on those boats. What it was, what that videotape was further information that had come to light that burns had happened.
Yeah.
And what we were doing was asking the questions why. And I think there is some suggestion here that those allegations shouldn't have been reported. There's some suggestion here that that videotape should not have been aired. We stand by that. We stand by the thrust of the story. And I think it's important that we be judged on that story.
Okay, so you're sorry, but they're now calling for a scalp. Are you going to offer up a scalp?
No, look, I've spoken to some of my predecessors on this role. I've looked at the history of the ABC. From time to time, there are moments that the ABC runs stories that people disagree with, that upset people, that generate a lot of commentary. I think that's par for the course in all media organisations. I'm standing firmly in the role, and I think what's important for my role is that we continue to lead the ABC so it informs, educates and entertains the Australian people. There's a particular focus.
So no scalp. There's even speculation that you should resign. There are, on the more extreme edge of the commentary, critics saying that you should consider your position. Yeah. Have you?
No, John. I think it's very important that the ABC continues to pursue tough journalism, do investigative journalism, ask the tough questions. And one of the reasons we've pursued this story is that we do greatly respect and admire the Australian Navy. I've pointed out to people the top rating show on ABC television last year was the review of the Australian Navy. But when you have tough questions being asked of very important institutions, it's our role as journalists to ask those questions. And that's what our news team has been doing, and I back them in doing it.
If it's ever a choice between being popular and being respected, we'd rather be respected every time. I totally understand that. But is this a strategic failure on the political management of the issue by the ABC? You're normally politically very savvy, very well hooked into what's going on in Canberra.
Yeah.
Has this been? Have you underestimated the extent of the government's hostility to the ABC?
I think it's fair to say, John, we know that we all know that the coverage of asylum seekers has been a very contentious issue, and reporting around asylum seeker issues has been controversial for a decade or more.
But it's Indonesian spying allegations.
Yeah, but it's really important. And the most important contribution that the ABC can make in a new sense is to be fair and balanced and independent, and to not be frightened of asking the tough questions, not be frightened of investigative journalism, not be frightened of generating criticism from time to time. And I think if you look back in the history of the ABC, there have been numbers of stories that prime ministers and premiers and communications ministers have been unhappy with. If there are problems with our stories, we should set the record straight. But we're not going to resolve from the fact that we are an independent public broadcaster. That's what we are charged to do under our Act. That is what we are going to continue to seek to do.
Malcolm Turnbull yesterday suggested that the Australian network could be replaced by web streaming of News 24 into Asia instead. Are you interested or attracted to the idea?
Well, look, we're really happy to continue to talk with the government about the role of Australian Network. I actually sometimes think there are three audiences for Australian Network. One is, you know, Australians travelling in the region who want football and news from home. The expats often want that too. But that's actually not the brief of Australian Network, certainly not the agreement we have with DFAT. The target of Australian Network are people who are going to want to travel to Australia, people who are going to want to do business with Australia, people who might send their kids here to study. And so that's why the programming slate includes things like children's programming, English language programming, a range of drama. And, you know, what we're executing there now is what we've agreed with DFAT to do. Now,
so you're not attracted to this idea?
But, well, it depends what the brief is, John. If, in fact, the brief is simply to provide a news service in the region, there might be other ways of doing that. I certainly do agree with the Minister that what we're going to see in the next decade is a movement away from traditional satellite television to a delivery mechanism that's more akin to using the internet and also using partners. And we've been doing a lot more of that in recent times. And if the government wants to change the strategy of Australian Network, of course, we'll actively engage with them on that.
For an organisation that tells other people's stories, how come we're so lousy at telling our own?
Yeah, it's a good question, John, but let me put it another way too. The media is so obsessed about talking about the media. There's one newspaper I open every day and I just count the number of stories on the media. And even on Q&A the other night, bless them, the first half hour talking about the ABC. You might suggest that we don't talk enough about ourselves. I think there's another argument that says we spend entirely too much time talking about ourselves. We should just get on and telling Australian stories.
That was the ABC's managing director, Mark Scott, speaking to John Fain from ABC Melbourne. Now, the relationship between the Australian government and the ABC is, well, it's been rocky at times, and this is actually something that is not unusual. In Canada, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation goes through the same thing with the governments in power, including the BBC. Now, public broadcasters like the BBC, ABC, and CBC, this seems to be kind of a trend. They say something the government doesn't like, and the government criticizes them. Now, this usually happens just before budget time. Now, people are expecting that the ABC is going to be hit with a massive budget cut. Well, we'll have to wait and see, and when it does happen, we will report on it. Now, to find out a little bit more about the relationship between the Australian government and the ABC, we're now joined by Rod Teffin. He's a professor at the Department of Government and International Relations at the University of Sydney.
It's actually probably the norm that prime ministers are not happy. I mean, this is Tony Abbott's attack on the ABC in the last few days is at a much more voluble, vociferous public rhetoric level than normally. But most prime ministers usually more quietly make their displeasure at the ABC known in various ways.
And can you give us some type of idea about how far this actually goes back?
Well, it goes back at least to the Menzies era. I mean, when Four Corners was founded in 1963, Prime Minister Menzies said to a senior manager at the ABC, "I know that that program is being started for one reason and one reason only, and that's to get at me and my government." And then Menzies' successors, their main target was This Day Tonight. At that time, ministers could kill a story because the ABC had this insistence on balance. And in the end, This Day Tonight started, if a minister refused to appear, it still ran the story, and that created a great kerfuffle at the time.
And what about in the 1980s when Australia had Paul Keating and Hawke as PM?
Well, they were both all anti the ABC too. I mean, the ABC had benefited from a big increase in funding in the Whitlam years, and then Fraser cut that back to some extent and appointed Sir Henry Bland as the chairman in an effort to rein in the ABC somewhat. Bob Hawke immediately disliked the ABC because Four Corners had run a story on Neville Wran and rugby league and the perversion of justice, if you like, and plus its coverage of anti-uranium protests. But the peak of his anger probably came during the Gulf War of 1990-91 when the ABC was employing Professor Robert Springborg as a commentator, and Springborg was a bête noire of the Israeli lobby and various others, and this was seen as a lack of balance, even though the ABC had several other commentators as well. And then Paul Keating was even more anti the ABC in many ways. So, I mean, Bob Hawke was more publicly so, but when Keating issued a major cultural statement in 1993 or 94, he deliberately omitted the ABC from any of the initiatives, and so he was a sort of, more ruthless, quiet targeting of his displeasure at the ABC.
Now, of course, it's one thing to privately criticize the ABC and be critical of their programming, We've seen this in Canada before, where Canadian prime ministers are angry at the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, but rarely will they go and say something public, because it seems that when they make something public, they really turn it into a political issue.
Yes, well, I think the thing about the ABC is actually that the public hold it in high esteem. And the thing, probably the thing that politicians hate more than anything else about the ABC is that you can't do deals with it. And actually, I think John Howard's chief spin doctor, Graham Morris, put it most pithily. He said, the ABC are our enemies talking to our friends. In other words, lots and lots of Liberal voters watch the ABC, like the ABC, trust the ABC. And so therefore, damaging news on the ABC is likely to do the government some damage.
One of Prime Minister Tony Abbott's complaints about the ABC is that the ABC is on everyone else's side except for Australia's side. Now, this, of course, is nothing new, because we've seen it happen before.
Very much so. So, you know, in international conflicts, when, you know, governments want to have everyone following a patriotic line, independent reporting can be particularly uncomfortable. And as it turned out, Senator Alston launched all these attacks on the ABC for inaccurate reporting. Some of these were upheld, but I think something like, from memory, 93% of them were found to be false.
But the politicians in Australia must think there's something in it to criticise the ABC for its coverage, saying that they're being too critical of Australia and taking everybody else's side if they keep playing the same song over and over.
Because it's not saying we're a sectional interest and the ABC is against us. It's saying the ABC is against the whole of Australia. It's hard to know how well it works. You know, I mean, the Prime Minister began by saying that people had been saying this to him. I doubt outside his own circle many people were saying it to him, because the ABC is easily the most trusted media organisation in the country. You know, during the last election, an essential poll published in Crikey ranked the ABC easily the highest, with a 58-17% ratio of trust, not trust.
Of course, we need to point out that people that don't trust the ABC won't trust the ABC no matter what happens.
That's right. And there's a phrase in American basketball, and I guess in sports generally, called playing the ref, that if you complain strongly about one decision, and to the referee, then the next time such a line ball decision comes up, the public rhetoric that the Prime Minister's adopted will make the ABC go more their way.
I was speaking there with Professor Rod Tiffin from the Department of Government and International Relations at the University of Sydney. Now, we take Australia Network for one moment. Australia Network is Australia's international television service, kind of like BBC World or NHK from Japan, etc., etc. But, how would I be nice? I have to be perfectly honest here. The budget that is spent on Australia Network could be better spent. If you take Radio Australia, which has a tiny budget compared to Australia Network, and hand over some of that money to Radio Australia, Radio Australia could be doing a far better job. Now, we used to get Australia Network here in Taiwan, but I have to tell you, to be perfectly honest, it was a little bit boring. There are many countries, especially here in East and Southeast Asia, where Australia Network was cancelled from cable systems because there wasn't enough subscribers. There is something wrong with running soap operas and dramas, followed by some news programs every now and again, that, well, the audience is just not interested in. There was very little coverage about Australia, very little coverage about Australia's neighbours in the Pacific. So, is Australia Network doing a good job? Are the Australian taxpayers getting bang for their buck, as they would say? Probably not. That money can definitely be better spent, or hand over Australia Network to another company to manage it for them. I'm sure that we will follow more on this story as it develops. Thank you. And you are listening to Media Network Plus, coming to you from PCJ Radio International. Well, World Radio Day is just a few weeks away. The third annual World Radio Day is happening on the 13th of February. Now, we actually just recorded the message, which you can hear at their website, which is wrd13.com. That's wrd13.com. And last year, just after World Radio Day ended, a few listeners suggested to us that, you know, maybe it might be a good idea to run some of the messages that radio stations around the world left the World Radio Day organizers, and we use them on the program. So we're going to begin this week with that exactly. First, we're going to take a listen to three of them, a station from India, Switzerland, and Belgrade.
World Radio Day, February 13. In every falling raindrop, in every passing second, singing songs that touches your heart. Bringing romance to your lonely nights, bringing smiles from faraway miles. A friend who shares and cares.
Musically, yes. Akashwani FM Rainbow.
Musically, yes. This message is brought to you by Akashwani Rainbow FM Kochi 107.5. Station of the nation, coming to you from the biggest radio network of India, All India Radio. Come.
Vous entendez des voix. N'ayez pas peur.
Chers auditeurs,
le programme, c'est vous.
Comment un son peut exister s'il n'y a personne pour l'entendre?
Comment dire, un périple. Un périple. Vous pouvez faire ça à plusieurs.
Vive la radio et vive le son. Et
слушаем радио.
Let's listen to the radio.
Радио спая.
Радио спая люди и идеи.
Люди и идеи. Radio brings together
people and ideas.
People and ideas.
Питање и одговори.
Questions and answers.
Континенте и генерације.
Континенте и генерације.
Continents and generations.
Радио Београд жели слушаоцима радија широм планете
срећан међународни дан радија 13. Фебруар.
Radio Belgrade greets all the radio listeners on Earth and wishes you happy World Radio Day.
February the 13th.
Three greetings from three different stations for World Radio Day. Once again, the website for the organization is wrd13.com. That's wrd13.com. And World Radio Day, the third annual radio day, takes place on February the 13th. Well, what can we expect propagation-wise over the next 7 days? I think it's now time we turn to our propagation guru, Dan Hensley.
Here's propagation for the week from February 8th to February 14th, 2014. A 10.7 centimeter flux of 195 on February 8th, February 9th, 180, February 10th, 170, February 11th, 160, February 12th, 150, February 13th, 140, and February 14th, 135. The A index is 8 from February 8th to February 10th, from February 11th to February 14th, an A index of 5. A KP index of 3 from February 8th to February 10th, and then a KP index of 2 from February 11th to February 14th. Sunspots 1967, 68, and 69 are present to the east of the solar disk this week, with sunspots 1970 and 71 to the west. AR 1967 has a beta gamma delta magnetic field that harbors energy for X-class flares. A coronal mass ejection recently missed us here on Earth. See more at www.pcjmedia.com/RPROP. Back to you, Keith.
That's right, Dan. Even if we don't have the audio version of the propagation forecast in the program, you can still find the text version at our website, www.pcjmedia.com. Anyway, we are now out of time. If you wish to contact us to let us know what you think of the program or have any comments, suggestions, or ideas, we'd love to hear from you. Our email address is very simple. It's mnp@pcjmedia.com. That's mnp@pcjmedia.com. You can also listen to all past editions at our website, www.pcjmedia.com/Media Network Plus. In the next couple of weeks, we're going to be publicizing our new shortwave schedule, which will begin in the month of March. And we'll be talking about it here on the program because we're going to be introducing some DRM transmissions and some other surprises as well. I don't want to tell you too much right now, because that'll be letting the cat out of the bag. And I think it's one of those moments, maybe the cat should stay in the bag so you'll get surprised for, well, when you hear it, that is. Okay, that's it. That's all we have time for. On behalf of the whole team, I'm Keith Powell, wishing you well. We'll see you in 7 days' time. Bye-bye, everyone. 73 and 88 to the ladies.